Welcome to another episode of By His Grace Podcast. I am so excited that I have my friend Julie Hamilton with me here today. Julie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I am so honored to be here with you. And I loved having you on my podcast. It was such an honor. So to be on yours is an even bigger honor.
This is so fun. I love this. I loved being on your podcast as well. So Julie, you are a podcaster, but I'd love for you to tell my audience a little bit more about yourself.
Oh, sure. Well, I am really blessed to live in Napa, California. So I'm a Texas girl, but I moved to Napa when I was a teenager, and I've been here ever since. We moved here for 9 months, and I'm still here. So that's how that worked out. I've been married for 21 years. We just celebrated our 21-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I have two daughters, 19 and 12. So we're kind of on the tail end of the teenager years and the beginning of the teenager years. I've been a homeschooling mom for 14 years. And actually, I enrolled my daughter in a private school for the coming year. That's the first time we've ever been to school. So we'll see
how that goes. That is a big step. Well, and here's the beautiful thing is that if it doesn't work, you can bring her back at homeschooler. And if she loves it and she's thriving, then it's all good. So,
yes. Yeah. I'm excited about that. And I feel like the Lord has just said, like, it's time for both her and I. And so he's given me some really amazing opportunities. So I do have a podcast, and it's fun to, we interview people who are making a positive difference in the world and really give our listeners the ability to move their lives forward. And so that's been a blast, Life Builders by Julie Hamilton. And then I recently, like very recently, just like 2 weeks ago, started co-hosting, got invited by the gal who's running for mayor of our city to co-host a radio show and a TV show. So that's been exciting too.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love it.
I get to find the guests for the shows and set them up. And so it's been like kind of a continuation of doing the podcast, you know? So it's been a lot of fun.
I love how God does that. He prepares us and we don't even realize sometimes what he's preparing for in the next season, but he's so good about not wasting anything. I love that.
Yeah, I'm blown away. That was the last thing I would ever expect. And so, yeah, and I've been, you know, podcasting and making weekly videos for almost 4 years now. And so for this opportunity to come up to say, hey, will you co-host a TV show with me? I'm like, yes. I mean, I almost said no, because I was like, I don't think I can do it. You know how it goes. And then I was just like, wait a minute, I've been preparing for this for 4 years. I can do this. So
that is amazing. Okay, Julie, so today we're going to talk about something that has been on your heart for a little while, and I like to just jump right in, and so we're going to talk about the struggle of feeling unloved, and what does that look like in your life?
Well, in my life, you would probably have to go back a long time. And you know, it's funny how Jesus just keeps revealing layers of things. And one thing that literally he was revealing to me in my quiet time this morning was that, you know, some of these things were patterns from when I was a kid. And he was just bringing me back to this moment when I was in third grade. And my dad traveled so much, and I have a loving father. He works so hard. He's such a good provider, but he traveled so much that I literally forgot what he looked like. Mm. And for me, God was just showing me, you know, Julie, your love language is quality time. And so, you know, just taking me back to that moment, letting me love myself, letting me love that little girl, just telling her, like, you are so loved. And you might feel like, you know, your dad's choosing that over you right now. But, you know, when you're a grown up, you understand so much more about that. I mean, I had to be gone working on my daughter's first birthday. I remember I had to go to a conference and I was just devastated. And I called my dad saying, I'm so sorry for all the times I was mad at you, you know, for working. Because, you know, I didn't want to be away on her birthday. But more recently, I would say in the last 10 years, it's been in the terms of my marriage. And I think this is a really interesting word, because no matter whether you're single, you're divorced, you're widowed, you're in a good marriage, you're in a rough marriage, there's always those places in us, that human place in us that is longing and desiring to be loved and wondering, like, when will I be loved? And I guess I would start out this chat was saying that only Jesus is going to feel that kind of love. And I'll tell you more details, but there is no person on the earth that is going to meet your need to be loved like Jesus.
That's
and
right.
That intimacy that you find with him is like nothing else on this planet. And no person can give you what Jesus does, you know, because he's always there for you. He doesn't reject you. He is excited. And I was just reading in 2 Thessalonians this morning that you are dearly loved, not just loved, but you are dearly loved.
Yes.
And he lives in us. So that's the end of the story. So I want to leave you with that first. But to go back to the beginning, you know, I am married to an amazing man. He is very successful. He is very faithful. He is very loyal. He is a great father, a great husband, just all the good things. You know, I'm super blessed. You know, but here's the honest truth. And friends, you're going to go from strangers to sisters real quick with me right here. And I want to talk about this because I think millions of women are struggling with this, whether they're married or not married or whatever the case is that sometimes our relationships can be lacking intimacy. And for me, you know, some of it has been medical. So some issues that Deben's been struggling with his hormones for a while. But I think that we have to sort of open the box and, you know, we're trying to open this box to find out, like, why have we always had this struggle? It, you know, is it medical? Is it trauma? You know, and, you know, I would say that, you know, he grew up in a household where there were strange men, a household of addiction. There were strange men coming in and out. And I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but, you know, I think some of the issues are also related to trauma and control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so for me, you know, so with all of that, I guess the thing that I would ask your listeners is, like, when did you first feel unloved? And when you think about that, is it when, you know, like the guy, the man in your life who should have been the one you could depend on, you know, like your daddy walked out? Or would it be when third grade and the kids said you were too fat or too skinny or too brown or too white, or if your hair was too curly or whatever it was, and it began to feel very unloved? And I think that there's probably millions of women out there who are feeling that. Because what kills me is when we go to a marriage conference and the speaker stands up and says, and a lot of people can relate with this, and I get it because a lot of my friends are in this actual boat. And the speaker stands up and says, all men want is sex, right? If you're a woman sitting in the audience and your husband doesn't really want to be intimate with you, that is like a stabbing knife in your heart,
yeah.
You know, honestly. And so because you're like, well, what happens is then you start going like, well, if my husband doesn't want to have sex with me, then what's wrong with me?
Right.
Am I not sexy enough? Am I not attractive enough? Am I not lovable enough? And, you know, you start asking these questions of yourself, you know, what is wrong with me? And I want to tell you, friends, that it's not always like that. Some of your relationships are like that. You know, my friends, they'll like, oh my gosh, I can't wait till he goes out of town because, you know, he wants to have sex with me all the time. And I'm like sitting there like, oh, okay.
Well, and I think, you know, there's multiple reasons for that to happen. So let me just interject here. You know, if a man is struggling with pornography, I know that that is a struggle that will make him less apt to want to have sex with his wife.
Yeah.
There could be physiological things,
yeah,
you know, going on with his body, hormonally related. So there's lots of reasons.
Yes.
You know, I think too, that we get so busy in, you know, I'm doing my thing and he's doing his thing and we're both doing, you know, our work and the kids, and, you know, we get to the end of the day and we're exhausted. And it really, for some, that is a high drive and a high need, but for others, we really have to create space, for that to happen.
Good
and, word. Yeah, I think just being aware of what that looks like, but you're right, because I know that, in my life because my husband did have, a pornography addiction for a short time within our marriage that almost broke us. But praise God, the Lord has healed him from that. But I, that during that time, I felt many of those same feelings that you were talking about what is wrong with me? Why is he looking at this? Why is he doing this? Is it something that I've done? Am I not pretty enough? You know, and I think that that's what the enemy uses, whether it's a physiological need or to just to take something that's beautiful and amazing and a gift from our Creator God that is an expression of love and wholeness. I think that that points to God, and the enemy has taken it and twisted it and turned it into something perverse, and then also attacked our thoughts on that as well. So
And I know that, you know, it's got to be so common, and I feel like nobody is really talking about this. I mean, in some ways we are with like the porn issue, but you know, with the hormones that you mentioned, you know, 50 million men are struggling with low testosterone and only 5% of them actually get treatment. And so I know that there's a lot of women sitting out there wondering like, what's wrong with my guy? He's depressed. He's like fatigued. He's all of this stuff, you know, and a lot of it is hormones, and you know, they can't get their husband to go to the doctor or whatever it is, you know, or he's scared to go because he doesn't want to get the bad report. Like, maybe I'm not as manly as I thought, you know. It's that's embarrassing to say I have low testosterone. I think it makes them feel, you know, like they're not manly, you know, like, oh, you know. But anyway, so I know that literally there's millions and millions and millions of women who are sitting out there going like, okay, like, what's wrong? I just to throw this out while we're talking, there's this awesome book called what is it called? I'm Still Sexy, So What's Up With Him? That's what it's called. Something like that. But it's this guy who, and I'm just saying this for some of your readers that might recognize some of those symptoms. It's actually a male doctor. He goes through low testosterone and he writes about his experience. And so, you know, his wife thought either he was gay or having an affair, you know, and so, and, but it's great because he talks about how he said, I saw the world in black and white instead of color. And that's how you feel when you have low testosterone, you know? So just to throw that out there, anybody who might think being like, yeah, I'm still sexy. What's up with him? You know, that's a book to read about it. But
I love it. You know, and I think you're right. I think for me, I know that my hormones after having kids and getting older and have changed definitely. And I know that I take natural supplements to help with that. And I had gone off for a short period of time. And I was such a raging lunatic that my husband's like, can you please get those hormones back? But I think for a woman, I think it's a little more acceptable than it would be for a man, like you said.
Like we're anticipating it. Like, okay, we're going to take this dive in hormones. We know all about this, you know?
Right. So I'm glad that we're talking about this, but I'd like to circle back around to you.
Yes.
Because as your husband has struggled, how has this affected you? How has this affected your marriage? How has it affected your self-esteem?
Oh man. Well, yeah, that's a long question to answer. You know, this has been a long process. And so I remember there were many days when I would just, my self-esteem was so low, you know, so low. And I remember, and I mean, this is going back so far because, you know, I have a 19-year-old daughter. I remember when I was pregnant with her. This is going to sound really sad. I was pregnant. I was very pregnant with her, and I taught like exercise classes all the way up till I delivered pretty much. I was like in the best shape, but I was so bothered by the way that my body was changing. And I felt like the rejection of me was because of the way my body looked. I remember I would shower in candlelight because I was like, I didn't really want to see the changes because I thought that was responsible for what was going on in my marriage. It wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't at all. But I mean, to actually say that out loud is, I feel, wow, I've never said that out loud before. So this is like, I'm super vulnerable right now. But like, I mean, that to that point, you know, and but what I've had to realize over the years is that this is not about me. And still, I'm still realizing it's just like layer after layer after layer of realizing that, you know, and I would say what happened to me were the biggest turning point in my life in this topic was probably last year. I realized that I was reading Instruments in the Hands of the Redeemer by Paul David Tripp. And what I realized is I made this an idol in my life. I mean, guys, I'm being like super honest right now. So this is stuff I haven't really talked about. So all my friends who are listening to this, this is just honesty room right here. Remember when Caitlin Zick said honesty room? This is honesty room. So I was reading Instruments in the Hands of the Redeemer by Paul David Tripp, and he talks about idols. And what I realized last year is that I had made getting Damian to love me in the way that I wanted to be loved, like for him to want to be with me, for him to want to be intimate with me, I had made that an idol. And I was angry about it. I was manipulative about it because I was just like, I was bitter about it. I was angry at him and I didn't even realize it. Like if you asked me if I was happy, I'd be like, yeah, I'm happy. Yeah, I'm fine. But underneath was this boiling layer of just like, well, what I said to myself, and this is how you know if you have an idol, is I'm not going to be happy until. That's when you have an idol. That's when you've made something more important than what God is doing in your life, is when you say, I'm not happy until I get this job. I'm not happy until my husband loves me like this. I'm not happy until my kids turn around. And that sets itself up as an idol in your life where you begin to look at that as the end all be all instead of looking at God's grace and knowing like this, your grace is enough to cover this and you are sovereign over this, God, right?
That's right.
So,
and God is good regardless of our circumstances.
Yeah.
He's good because that's his character and it's who he is. And yes, when we're fully in him, then we can trust no matter what our situation is like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing is if you looked at my life, I mean, I was happy. I had a lot of amazing things to be grateful for. And I mostly focused on those, but this was just way down deep underneath all of that, you know? And so God just did this work and we ended up going to Europe for a couple of weeks, which is super fun for our 20th anniversary. But when I came back, I got wrecked. God wrecked me. He took me down to my lowest foundations. I couldn't even go back to the things that I had been doing before that. I had been doing 2 podcasts a week, 2 YouTube videos a week, 2 Instagram videos a week, 2 Facebook videos a week, you know, Facebook lives and everything, posting every day about, you know, encouragement and stuff. And what happened was God just totally wrecked me. And this was in September. And he just asked me, will you give me the next 120 days of your life? And will you let me build up from the foundation, from the bottom? Let me resettle your foundation and rebuild your foundation so that I can build on this later on. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes. And so it was much like what I felt like was I was just camped in the end of John, I think John 21, where Peter has denied Jesus and he's gone back to the fishing, right? And there's no fish there. And, but then Jesus tells him, you know, fish on the other side of the boat. But that moment where Jesus makes the breakfast on the beach. And here's what I love about Jesus is he went out of his way. He didn't ask the disciples to come meet them where he was. Like he wasn't like, hey, meet me on Fifth Street. Right. He was like, I came to where they were and they were doing their best and going back to what they knew. They're in this horrible process, you know, with not knowing what the future holds. And he comes back to them and he makes them this beautiful breakfast. I mean, Jesus knows how to cook, right? He's probably like way better than French Laundry, you know? And so, and then I love that he just takes Peter in and he restores him and, you know, and he asks him those 3 times, do you love me? And Peter's like, oh God, I know. I love you. Then feed my sheep. And Peter goes through this transformation where he was wreck at the beginning, but by the end, by the beginning of Acts, by Acts 2, he's gone from the betrayal to the balcony, right? Because God, he let God break him down, restore him, and then take him to where he wanted to be to make him who he wanted to be. And so, you know, that's, I think, a word for people too, is like, sometimes what you're going through, it's not to tear you down, it's to build you up, but you have to rebuild that foundation. Because sometimes, and this is what happened to me, is God took me down to my very motives of, why are you doing this? Why do you, you know, as invited to a filming for Propel Women. Yes, I want to go to that filming. God is like, why do you want to go to this filming? Oh, so I could see my friends. You know, and so, nope, you're not going this time, you know. And so he really took me down to those foundations. And what he did from that was reveal this intimacy. And the thing is, when you have a marriage where you're not intimate that often, I really found that I missed the intimacy of heart. It wasn't that I just wanted to have sex. It's like, I miss the intimacy of heart. I miss that connection where, you're just laying there and there's no shame. There's no embarrassment. It's only just like this pure, unadulterated love, you know, where you're just like 100% yourself.
Yeah.
And I missed being 100% myself, because that's just not an area that I could be myself in, you know? And so what Jesus has brought me to is this grace and this intimacy with him, where, you know, in my mind's eye, you know, I can go with him anytime, and he can hold me in his arms, or maybe sometimes we're dancing together to a song, or, you know, it's just this deep, deep intimacy. And I don't think that I would have, if I had had that in my marriage, I don't think that I would have gone to the place as deep as I've gone with the Lord to find that. And he meets every need. And I just say that to your listeners, that whatever the need is, whether it's comfort, whether it's intimacy, whether it's acceptance, whether it's being seen, heard, understood, God meets that need. Jesus, he's all in it. And he never says no thanks. You never come to him and be like, Jesus, can we meet? He's like, nah, let's how about later? You know, he is excited when you come to him. He's like, oh my gosh, yes, I've been waiting for you to come to me. I want to spend time with you. There's never that rejection, you know, that can happen.
Absolutely.
When we're dealing with human people.
And we look for so many other things to try to fill that God-shaped hole in our heart that only Jesus can fill. So whether it's our job or success or our husband or our children or working for the Lord, like doing things for him. I mean, he wants our hearts. And I think that's really what you're saying here. And that's where true intimacy and fulfillment can come, is when we just, and then the other thing I'd like to say is, because, you know, God knows our situation. He knows what's going on.
Yes.
And we can hold on to that, or we can pour our hearts out. And he wants us to pour our hearts, even though he's intimately acquainted with everything. He wants our hearts, and he wants us to share with him, so that he can do what only he can do, because he's the only one who can truly fulfill.
Yeah. And one day I was just looking in the mirror, and this is what God said to me, and this is what I want to tell your listeners today. God said, what I realized is that I had a habit of looking in the mirror and saying, I wonder if anyone will ever love me for who I am. And I could be myself, you know. And God just said to me, you don't have to ever look in the mirror and wonder that again, because I love you. And I love you 100% for who you are. And, you know, just those things that you said, that you're accepted, you're loved with a love that you could never be loved with here on earth. You're seen, you're heard, and you're understood, you know? And so I think that's the point that I would say out of all of this, is that if you feel unloved and you feel unlovable, you don't have to wonder anymore if anyone will ever love you, because Jesus already does. He's already the fulfillment of everything that you already need in your life. And he's alive in you. That's Christ in you. And we hear about it all through the scriptures that he has made us right with God because of the cross. And this thing of being right with God, that's what that is. That's Christ in you. And he's alive and full of love. So
that's amazing. You know, when I was on your podcast, we talked about a similar thing in that God, I broke my arms and I could completely do nothing for myself. And that's where he completely stripped me of everything because I'm a doer and I was doing everything for everybody. And I didn't even realize that I struggled with not being loved, but my husband could sense it. And he had told me that. And I had read a book. I just love the way God does this. You know, he puts things in our lives, but it wasn't until I wasn't able to do anything for anyone. And even myself, just that I could just sit there and receive God's love. And so y'all check out, I don't know what episode that is, Julie, maybe you can help us out, but yeah, you'll have to listen to Life Builders by Julie Hamilton. You can find that there too. So Julie, I have really enjoyed this conversation with you today, and I know that it is going to help many listeners. Thank you for your vulnerability, and thank you for just opening up and sharing your heart with us today. Where can my listeners find you?
Well, yeah, any place you can hit me up is Life Builders by Julie Hamilton. That's my website, Life Builders by Julie Hamilton, because there's a ton of Life Builders, and there's also a ton of Julie Hamilton. So I just put it together. on Facebook, on my website, on YouTube, LinkedIn, I don't know. But on Instagram, it has little dots in it, life.builders.by.juliehamilton. But I was looking up, your episode is episode 95 on my podcast. It was so good. And, you know, your episode really helped me because when I was going through some things after we recorded, and I just kept thinking about your story. And I was like, you know what? You know, if she can take this beautiful lesson from this terribly hard thing that she went through, and this is what God is showing her, then I can take this lesson from what I'm learning and so, or what I'm walking through. And I just thought it was so beautiful. And thank you. And thank you for letting me share my story. I told you before we recorded, I've never talked about this before. This is my first time talking about, you know, what we just talked about from my end. So I hope it helps somebody out there.
Yes, I know it will. Julie, thank you so much. It's been an honor to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Love you.
Love you too. Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.